Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, Natalie, I wish she could just keep going and just going and going so I don't have to, you know, follow. No, but there is no greater assurance than knowing that our lives are in His hands. And so thank you, Natalie. And good morning, everyone. Welcome to San Ramon Valley Bible Church. It's a great day to hear from the Word of God. We're going to jump right in and open to our main verse of the day, and that's in Matthew 13:44. So if you don't have your Bible, there's some Bibles in front of you. We're going to stay on this one for quite a bit, so you can just kind of keep it open there, or just have it on your phone, or it'll be on the screens. But our main verse is Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And the title of today's message is Living for Heaven. For those of you who are new or visiting, you might not be familiar with the reference Living for Heaven, but it's inspired by Jessica Hyde. Jessica is a member of our church. You'll sometimes see her driving around in a shiny white truck with a giant 100-pound mix of Bernese Mountain Dog and a poodle named Finley. She's watching us today. Jessica, we miss you. The license plate on Jessica's truck reads Living for Heaven. And if anyone crosses path with Jessica, the likelihood that they miss the fact that she loves Jesus is extremely low because she takes every single chance to share it. And if they miss the license plate on Jessica's truck, they'll catch it on the Bible verse in bold print on her shirt or hoodie. And if it's not on her clothes, it will be directly from her mouth or her phone screen. It just comes out of her. And while for 25 years now, she's been overcoming a certain form of cancer that's made it more difficult for her to speak than pretty much anyone here, she's found some creative ways to communicate her passion and her love for our Savior. So whether she's out thrift shopping at Savers, she's a great deal hunter. You ask her, hey, that is a nice shirt you have on. She'll say, $2. Ultimate deal hunter. Or at the hospital where she spent more than her fair share of time. Everywhere she goes, she shares about the Lord. And, you know, it's said that a life is a much better sermon than any message, so that when I think about living for heaven, you know, I think about her this morning. And so it's fitting that I point out a household of saints who live by these words today. Mike's here, and I know Jessica and Ginny are home listening, so I hope this message does you justice. But before we start, maybe we can just pray and ask the Lord to bless this. So let's pray. Dear Lord, our lives are in your hands, and Lord, we're so thankful that we know who you are. You are a loving God. And I just pray that you send us your Holy Spirit so that we might open our eyes today to this love. Please, Lord, open our hearts to this message and help us treasure you more. We just commit this day to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I mentioned that Jessica is a great deal hunter. But, you know, really all of us here are really well trained in evaluating the value of things. It's something we've been doing all of our life. Some of us might even consider ourselves good deal hunters ourselves. Some people just love a good deal. And so what do I mean by this? I want to do a quick example. I brought some props. So from the time we learn to count, right, to any time we go to a store and see all the prices of everything that we want to buy or everything at the store, we're trained to evaluate a good deal. We're trained to evaluate value and worth. And it's not an inherent skill that we're born with. If you really think about it, we kind of figure it out as we go along, right? We learn it as time goes. And so let me just give you an example to drive this point home. I brought two objects. There's some audience participation here. I expect everyone here to you know, help me out with this example. So the first item, I'm going to bring two items. And you're gonna tell me which one you think is worth more, okay? Easy, Price is Right. All right, first item is just some rock, okay? It came out of the ground. This rock was then cut and polished and set on a smooth metal band so that I could put it on my finger's wife the day I got down on one knee to ask her for her hand in marriage. You'll have to look really close because it's not that big. But I love her more than this. Okay, so it's the diamond on this ring. Item one, before I don't have Vanna White, so, you know. That's the first item, the diamond on this ring. Okay? All right, get ready. Item two, critical piece of survival equipment. This item could mean the difference between life and death during an emergency. It's used to start a fire that can be used for warmth, for cooking or boiling water. We needed it when we went camping. And for safety from animals at night when you're in the wilderness. So item two is a pack of matches. Okay? Pack of matches. So I'm gonna ask you all to put your fingers up. What item do you think is worth more? Okay? Item one, the diamond, or item two, the pack of matches, all right? One, two, three, fingers up. Which item is worth more? Worth more, worth more, worth more. Wow, this crowd is much more split than I thought. Jamie, I am so sorry. I thought everyone would say that your diamond is worth more, but some people happen to be lifting up and showing me item two. All right, that's okay. That's all right. That's okay. Apparently, I convinced you that safety is more important than a diamond ring that I bought and picked out for my wife. But the item that is worth more is obviously the diamond ring. Sorry to say, the matches you can buy. 30 cents. Diamond ring might be worth a little bit more. But see what I mean, though, that no matter how I try to position each item, right, your years of experience might kick in, and evaluating value is kind of a mental task that we're all used to. You know, we know how to do it, right? We make a call and we say, okay, this item is more valuable than the other. So I want to go back to our verse in Matthew. It's a parable shared by Jesus himself. And he says, a man found a treasure. He decided to sell all he had to buy the field it was found in. And in our verse, the man exercises the same pattern of thinking that we just did, right? He weighs the treasure's value and decides it's worth much more than what he owns. And so I know for most of us, it would be a complete no-brainer to do exactly what the man did, right? If we know that the treasure in the field is worth, let's say, $50 or $100 million, how much more would we be happy to sell our house or our car or whatever it takes to get that treasure? And so, going back to our verse, right, we see that Jesus wasn't talking about $50 or $100 million. He wasn't talking about physical treasure at all. It's pretty clear. He says he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. So what does he mean by this verse? Well, I want to make something clear. Okay, this is what we believe in this church. He's not talking about salvation or access to heaven, because that is free. Okay? You don't have to sell a thing for salvation. When we accept Jesus in our heart, when we believe he died for our sins and ask for forgiveness, we receive the gift of salvation. It's called the gift because it's free. That assurance is fully and completely secured by Jesus' death. That's it. We have several verses in the Bible to make that clear. So I just want to make sure we all understand that's not what we're talking about today. But let me tell you what we are talking about. Today's verse, Jesus is talking about treasuring heaven. The verse teaches us to weigh the value of earthly things against heavenly things. And Jesus gives us his own estimation of it. He says that heavenly things far outweigh the earthly. That means if we were to weigh our actions, if we were to put on balance the decisions we make here on earth, where we spend our time, our focus, and our attention, we would profit, according to Jesus, more from heavenly things than earthly things. This is what it means to live for heaven. When you see Jessica driving through with that truck, that's what this means. And so if this is what Jesus says, the real question I want to talk about this morning is, do we believe it enough to affect how we live on earth? So today I'd like to touch on 3 points about what the Word of God says about living for heaven. The first point is that living for heaven is repentance. I don't get to make this up. This is all in his word. Repentance means to turn away from sin and change our ways. And I know for many, it's a difficult word that comes with baggage and some big guilt. You know, repentance. We've all probably been kind of told to repent. But we need to start here because this is where Jesus started. Like I said, I don't get to make this up. So if you, you know, I'm going to prove it to you. Look at Matthew 4, if you want to. It'll be on the screen. This is where Jesus started when he began to preach. In Matthew 4, 17, it says, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. But there's good news here, because you see, if your experience is anything like mine, growing up, I understood repentance to mean the responsibility of untangling myself from all of my past sins and all the mistakes that fell squarely on my own shoulders to fix. I had to do it on my own power. It was all on me. What I didn't know was that Jesus came to the picture and changed everything. So when Jesus came, repentance changed. He allowed a way for us to turn away from sin by turning to him. We no longer have to rely on our own strength to untangle ourselves or to be perfect. That's not what he expects of us. Jesus knows that our hearts are as brittle as the stone tablets that held the law in the Old Testament. That's why he had to come. Jesus came so that we can turn away from sin and turn towards a forgiving and loving God. We can't live for heaven unless we repent. When Jesus said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near, it was an invitation to come near to him. When Jesus came, the goodness of grace and grace of heaven came near to us. Do you see the difference there? instead of a cold command, we now have here Jesus offering us a balm for our injured and needy souls. If you're saying, Mike, I can't even think of living for heaven right now. There's just too much I'm dealing with as it is on earth, right? Here you go. What we can do is repent and turn to Jesus. If there's something you're struggling with, something too hard to give up, ask Jesus. He can help. Trust him. He's able to change us and make us clean. We don't have to do it on ourselves. We just have to come to that place of believing that he can heal us. And that repentance is the first step of living for heaven. My second point is this. Living for heaven is treasuring Jesus. Living for heaven is treasuring Jesus by living in dedicated service to him as our King. You know, I mentioned earlier that repentance is turning to Jesus. Well, the kingdom of heaven is God's kingdom. In fact, in the Bible, when the kingdom of heaven is mentioned, and you know, you're reading your Bible, you'll see the reference many times. It was the respectful way for Jewish authors to mention the kingdom of God. They didn't want to mention his name because it was too holy. And so they would say the kingdom of heaven. Romans 14:9 says this. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Hey, pay attention there, right? The Word of God makes it clear that our role in his kingdom doesn't just start when we meet him in heaven one day. He cares about being our Lord while we live on earth. And when we accept him as Lord, he calls us to walk with him, live for him, serve him, and put him first. Bill McDonald says this, one of the reasons for which Christ died and rose and lived again is that he might be our Lord and that we might be his willing subjects, gladly rendering to him the devotion of our grateful hearts. So, what does it mean to treasure Jesus? It's to see the value of who he is and what he did for us, and letting that affect how we live. If our Lord was sacrificial, patient, compassionate, loving, and generous, then it's choosing to be the same way, even when it's not easy. Colossians 3, 2-4 says this, set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Treasuring Jesus is looking past the trappings of this earth, knowing that our King is one day coming back. You know, we went camping this last week, and And Jamie and I had to change our plans. And we ended up, instead of staying at the cabins, we went to this hotel instead. And it's a older hotel. And if there's anything you know, you might know about Jamie, she's what you might call germ aware. And there was a lot to be aware of in that hotel. And so, you know, it wasn't comfortable for her, so it wasn't uncomfortable for me. And we had to come up with a way to kind of deal with the situation. We didn't want to leave. It was far too much fun and a blessing to have fellowship with everyone, so we wanted to stay. And so we came up with this mental framework. I said, Jamie, anytime something bothers you, it was an old cowboy town we were on. It was in the hotel was cowboy themed. You could imagine, you know, the cowboys walking through the saloon and everything downstairs. And I said, every time you're bothered by something, just say, I'm a cowboy. So all that night, you know, I'd take my shower and you know, the sink wasn't keeping up with the shower, and you were starting to kind of just like float in the thing. She'd hear me say, I'm a cowboy. And we got through it. And you know, it's almost the same thing living here on earth. Can we say, when we're dealing with hard things, you know, I'm with Christ. My life is in Him. I'm going to live through this, because I know He's coming back one day. I'm going to go home to my clean shower one day, but for now, I'm a cowboy. And so everything I've shared so far isn't the most encouraging. I get it. Repentance and surrendering to Christ. But my last point is this. Living for heaven is worth it. You know, if some of you have been, you know, or sitting there, or anything like me, where I'd be sitting in those chairs, hearing a similar message, I would feel my heart rebel. I would feel it. I would think to myself, and maybe this is you right now, oh, that message is great for someone else. I will keep that in mind. Thank you very much. I am good. I don't need this at the moment, but maybe later. It's good information. But let's go back to our main verse, right? So video team, if you could put that back, or sound team. Notice this, right? The man says this, in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. He gave up everything with joy. And that's the rub here. Many people will miss the value of Christianity because by earthly standards, it is not a good deal. Because it means giving up something finite for something we can't see. There's not a price tag on heaven, and it's free, but if you speak to someone who's walked with the Lord, like Jessica, who's turned their lives over to Jesus, to them, it's worth everything. It's worth living for, and it's worth dying for. And this is why. I want you to hear this. They've experienced the joy and the peace that only Jesus can give. You know, a few weeks ago, I was texting with Jessica. We were messaging back and forth before she was scheduled to go into a major operation, and she needed this to save her life. And while she's been in dire situations like this before, this time she was losing, you know, a lot of blood each day. And so no one knew what the Lord had planned. And so here I was trying to send a message to encourage her. And you know what she said to me? And I asked her for permission to share this with you all today. This is what she said to me. I'm going to quote Jessica. "I just want people to know that the Lord is worth it. In every bit of pain and heartache, He is faithful, and He's the only one who can bring beauty from ashes and inexplainable joy from sorrow. He makes life worth living. You don't have to take it from me. It's worth it to experience the love of Christ yourself. Perfect love, the type of love that can heal. As we see her sitting in her room today, surviving this operation against all odds, that's the love of Christ. The type of love that can change any sinner. We heard it from Ken this morning. The type of love that could make someone like me, a selfish, deceitful, lying, prideful, and all the things, open my eyes to heaven. It's so worth it that Jesus gave everything so that we might have a chance to experience it. You know, I believe there's a picture of our lives that will be revealed to us one day when we get to real heaven that shows how deeply our Savior loved us while we've been here on earth. How He cared for us. How He provided for us. How He kept us safe. Living for heaven is allowing our spiritual eyes to see as much of that picture while we're here so that we might live in gratitude to Jesus and spill out in His love. So this is where I want to start the conversation, okay? If you've made a decision for Christ, I need to start a conversation right now. I need you to look at the person right next to you. And if you believe this, I want you to tell him that it's worth it. Just like Jessica told me. If you have not made a decision for Christ, I pray that Christ's love compels you to make a choice, and that when Jesus knocks on your heart, that you might come willingly. Amen. No one else can convince you to live for heaven but yourself. This is where our heart has to participate. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 says this, "For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced." Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So I leave us with this message today. Live for heaven. It's worth it. Amen. Experience it for yourself. Christ knows what we need to experience, and He wants us to experience His love. And so let's pray today that we might open our eyes and our hearts to this. Amen. Dear Lord, I pray that you open all of our eyes this morning, that we might see the value of living for heaven each day, so that with joy we might be willing to give up everything because you are worth it. Lord, I pray that you bless this message, plant a seed in our hearts, help us live for you, so that one day, Lord, when you come, we might be with you in glory. We just commit this now in Jesus' name. Amen.